Today I'm doing part three of my message, Take Bold Steps. I believe that God wants us, each one of us, to be bold for Him. We must do bold things for God. We must believe God for big and mighty things. We must step out of timidity. We must be courageous. We must be all that God wants us to be. You cannot serve God and think small. You cannot serve God and see yourself little. If the Lord God, the creator of the universe, is your God, He's your Father, you have a big God and you have to think big and do big. And you have to be bold to do that. And we're going to look at a man in the Bible who had to learn to act with courage and with strength in the face of massive difficulties in his life. And the man is Joshua. And God spoke to Joshua about how to respond to the challenges facing him. Joshua chapter 1 and verses 5 to 9. This is just before Israel entered the promised land. For 40 years, they've been in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. Now Moses is gone, Moses is dead, Joshua is the new leader, and Joshua has to go in to do what his mentor, Moses, has not been able to do in 40 years. And God speaks to Joshua and tells him it can be done. I don't know about you, but I believe that God wants to say to somebody, it can be done, and it will be done, and don't belittle yourself. Joshua chapter 1 from verse 5 to 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a charge. In this passage, we see God's charge to Joshua. He spoke to Joshua three times in this passage. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You would wonder, why would God tell Joshua to be strong and courageous? Because Joshua is a soldier. He's not a civilian like me. He's a soldier who has seen combat and has won victories. So if anything at all, you would trust that a military man who understands fight, who has won some battles in the past, will already be courageous. But God had to tell Joshua over and over and over, be strong and courageous. And so it tells you that sometimes you can be a military man and still not be courageous. Sometimes you may have won some victories in the past and seen the glory of God in the past, but you'll be faced with some challenges and you will be afraid. So although the man has a history of victory, he now is faced with the present and the future of uncertainty. I don't know whether you've been there before, where you know God is good. God has been good to you. You have testimony. But then now you are faced with something and you're not sure what to do. And that's where Joshua was. He has past history with God, but at the present, he is not really sure whether he will succeed. So God speaks to him to be strong and courageous. So let's look at those two charges that God gave to him. The first one, God says, be strong. Be strong. I like that. And when you look at the command or the charge, it is couched in a way that speaks about to grow steadily in might, in power, and strength. The verb that is used is a continuous verb. That means that God is not just saying, be strong for today, but he means be strong today, be strong tomorrow, be strong next week, be strong continuously. So the strength God is talking about here is not just something that happens once in your life and you say forever, I am strong, I am well, I will overcome. But God says you have to do this steadily. You have to increase in strength every day. The reason is simple, because our challenges sometimes escalate. Problems you had 10 years ago may be different from the ones you are facing today. So every time of our lives, we have to be strong. Be strong in a continuous sense. Then the second thing God says is be courageous. In the Hebrew, that word means to be hardened. Be hard. Don't be soft. Even if you're a woman, be hard. Be focused. Be alert. The image is that of a person who sets his face or her face to a task and is very alert, watching around and not missing anything that is happening around them. So God says to Joshua, if you're going to take this land that Moses only saw but never took, if you're going to do something that your fathers couldn't do, if you're going to defy conventional wisdom, because you know, sometimes you can live in a country and see everybody going down, but if you're going to be the only one going up, if you're going to defy the narrative of Africa, if you're going to defy the narrative of Ghana, if you're going to defy the narrative of the Ghanaian economy, if you're going to live beyond where everybody is, you have to be strong and you have to be courageous. Because many times you have no example of anyone who has done what you want to do except you are the first to do it. Moses didn't enter the promised land and he was a powerful man. Now Joshua wants to do what Moses couldn't do. How are you going to do it? He says you have to be strong. You have to be strong steadily. And you have to be courageous. You have to be hard. Because life will hit you. I don't know about you, but life can hit your chest. And when it hits your chest, you step one back, two back, and you step one forward, two forward again. And you say, hit me again. That is called courage. Because life is going to hit you. Stuff will hit you. Things are going to hit you. You're going to face situations that are difficult. But you have to be strong and you have to be courageous. And when you are strong and courageous, you don't go about complaining about everything. You know, complaining is very easy. How many of you know that? Telling everybody about your problem is the easiest thing. But determining to overcome them, that's the tough one. And if you're not careful, you become part of the complaining bunch. You complain about everything. You complain about how God has treated you, how the devil has treated you, how your friends have treated you, how your enemies have treated you. Yeah. But complaining never gets the job done. Have you ever seen somebody who complains a lot and still achieves a lot? No. If you complain a lot, it's a sign that you have surrendered to the problem. But God says, be strong and be courageous. Somebody say, I'm strong. Oh, please clench your fist and say, I'm strong and I'm courageous. I am strong and I'm courageous. I am not weak. I am hard. That's what the Bible says. Be hard. Be tough. Don't be soft. Everything. Yeah, cry a little, wipe the tears. Be strong. Life is not for the weak. Life is for the strong. If you're weak, somebody is going to have you for lunch. So how is Joshua supposed to be strong and courageous? God gave him the response, and that should be our response too. And there are three things that God says that we must pay attention to in order to respond to the challenge. The first is that we must trust in God's abiding presence in all situations. God says to Joshua, I am with you. I am with you. As simple as that is it. I am with you. As I was with Moses, so am I with you. And that had to be very encouraging to Joshua, because every part of his past history and his past achievement had been accomplished under Moses' leadership. It was under Moses that he got his calling. It was under Moses that he became a soldier. It was under Moses that he fought the Amalekites. It was under Moses that he has done everything. Now Moses is gone. And God says, although Moses is gone, I am here. You have to trust in God's abiding presence. He never leaves. He never forsakes. In the mountain, on the valley, he is God. The strength, the courage of the Christian is because God is with us at all times. He's with us in the floods. He's with us in the fire. He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the mountain. He's with us in the lion's den. And he's with us in the palace of the king. He's with us in the exam room. He's with us at the interview. He's with us when we are young. He is with us when we grow old. He is with us when we are single. He is with us when we are married. He is with us when we have money. He is with us when it's 25th August. Yep. It's not the best of dates. It's not the best. In Ghana, from 22nd, it's not good. It's not a good time of the month. 22nd, 23rd, 24th. Most of you, next week, you will smile. But this week, you are not smiling too much. But he is with you on payday and broke day. He is with you when your account is full. He is with you when the account is zero. He's with you when you punch the ATM and punch in your PIN and nothing good comes out. He's with you at all times. And that's our courage, that we never, ever enter life without God. We never face any situation with God turning his back to us. He's with you. And so he says to Joshua, yeah, I was with Moses and he did great things, but I'm with you too. Moses is gone, but I am here. Your pastor may not be there, but God is there. A prophet may not be there, God is there. You may have no anointing oil in your briefcase, but God is there. God's abiding presence is not based on any human being. It's not based on any instrument. It's not even based on whether you are in the church building or outside of the church building. He is with you wherever you are. You have to trust that God is with you. The second thing we have to trust as our response for God's strength and courage is the transforming power of God's word. That's the key God gave to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Observe to do what is written in it, and then you would learn to have good success and prosper. Joshua had to trust in God's word. He had to understand God's word. He had to meditate in God's word. He had to speak God's word. And he had to do that constantly, day and night. The power of the word of God is our courage. God's word is settled in heaven. God's word brings light out of darkness. God's word turns chaos into order. God's word brings life out of dead things. God's word sets the boundaries of our lives. God's word strengthens the weak. God's word heals the sick. God's word will make you walk on water. God's word will make you move mountains. God's word will turn cowards into warriors. God's word sends us into battle. God's word receives us in victory. And his word in our hearts, his word in our mouth is like a sword. By it we go into battle and we win our battles. God's word is our courage. When you are down, go to the Bible. Read the words of Jesus Christ. If you have a good Bible, it will be in red ink. You cannot miss it. Read the red. Read the red. Read the red. The red letter words of Jesus. Go to Matthew and read what he says. Go to Mark and read what he says. Go to Luke and read what he says. Go to John and read what Jesus says. And all of a sudden, courage will come into your heart. Strength will come into your heart. The word of God is our weapon of war. The word of God, trust in it. Can you imagine? He's going to face people with swords and spears and weapons of war. And God says to Joshua, you're going to overcome them because you're going to take the land. You're going to divide an inheritance of the people. What weapon am I supposed to take? This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. God considered his word as more potent than swords and spears. He didn't even tell Joshua, arm yourself. Go and get your battle axe. Go and learn how to war. Train the people for war. He didn't say, although all of that was important, that was not his priority. His priority is, if you get my word inside of you, you can deal with every opposition that comes against you. The courage of the Christian is not based on our bravado, it's based on the word of God. The word of God in our hearts and in our minds. And the third thing that God expected from Joshua is to trust in the guarantee of God's grace for every task. He says to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. God's grace is the guarantee for every task. His grace is sufficient. If God calls you to preach, he will give you the grace to preach. If God calls you to do business, he will give you the grace to do business. If God calls you to build, he will give you the grace to build. If God calls you to change the world, he'll give you the grace to change the world. His grace is our sufficiency. Even if you are like me and God calls you to preach, the most unlikely person, you will still know how to preach. There are people who you naturally see, because people expect preachers to be people who like talking, people who like to stand in front of people, people who enjoy the crowd. I am none of that, none of the above. I don't like to talk. I don't like to stand in front of people. I don't like to be seen. My natural habitat is myself. I just want to be by myself. I like to be with my wife, my children. That's a crowd. I don't like big things. I don't like to be seen. I don't like to mount platforms. I don't like to talk to people. When I'm not preaching, I'm quiet. And then God calls me. The person who wants to be at the back of the crowd, he says, come and stand in front of the crowd. The person who wants to sit and listen to people, he says, now be the talker. And everything in my natural being contradicts everything God called me to do. But when God calls you to do something, he gives you the grace to do it. That means if genetically you don't have it, hereditary you don't have it, your father didn't have it, your mother didn't have it, God will give it to you. Amen. It is God's grace. So your father is poor. Your mother is poor. Grandfathers, two on each side, poor. Grandmothers, two on each side, poor. For generations, you are poor. And God says, I will prosper you. There is no riches in your family, but he will give you the grace to prosper. If he says he'll make you the head and everybody in your family was a tail, and there is no story or history of headship in your family, he gives you the grace to do that. Whatever God calls you to do, he gives you the grace to do it. So now when I preach, it seems like my natural space. I tell people all the time, every time before I step to preach, I have to, you know, trust God to come up and speak. I've been doing this for almost 50 years, but it's never familiar to me. It's never easy, but the grace of God is sufficient. That's one thing that reminds me, this must be God. Because if it is not God, I should have gotten to a point in my life where I said, this one is cocoa, it's easy, I can do it. No, but it's never. It's never. It just reminds me, this is God. It is the sufficiency of the grace of God. That is what guarantees you victory. And God says to Joshua, nothing, no one can stand before you all the days of your life. You're going to win this one. I just want to speak to somebody listening to me. You're going to win this one. I said, you're going to win this one. You're going to overcome this one. You're going to be the head over this one. Your story will be great. You will not be a disgrace. You will not be a disappointment. You will not be shamed. You're going to win this one. Everybody may have lost it, but you will win it. Everybody who fought this battle may have lost, but as for you, you will win this one. Somebody say, I'm winning this one. Say, I'm winning this one. Or say it boldly, say, I'm winning this one. I'm winning this one. I'm winning it for my children. Winning it for my children's children. Winning it for the people of God. Winning it to encourage somebody that it is a winnable war. That's what God says to Joshua. You're going to win this one. Trust in the guarantee of God's grace for every task. Many times in the Bible, God told people he had called to be bold. Almost everybody. So I'm going to show you how to face opposition. Four things that God said to various people that will help us to face whatever we are facing with. First, do not fear their faces. He says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:17, therefore prepare yourself and arise, speak to them all that I commanded. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. do not fear their faces. Whether they have stone face or iron face or ice face, don't be afraid of them. Whether they stand before you like statues or they smile, don't be afraid. Many of us have an unhealthy fear of people. Especially when you're African, we are afraid of people who are older than us, people who are our superiors. And most people's attitude oscillates in two extremes: timidity and rudeness. They're either saying being rude or they're being timid. But in between, there is a right behavior of being respectful, of being courteous, but still able to speak your mind. Yes. Being able to speak your mind. You may be quiet. You may not be rough and rude, but don't allow people's faces to intimidate you. Don't sit before people and feel like they are better than you, they are bigger than you, they are God, and you are nothing. God says, don't be afraid of their faces. It doesn't also mean be rude or be casual. It doesn't mean be timid. It simply means trust God, sit comfortably, be yourself, and express yourself. If you have an opinion, say it. If you have a point of view, say it. If you are wrong, and so what? What if I say it and I'm wrong? Are you the first? Will you be the last? Right after you, somebody too will say something wrong. Say it, because that is what you think. It's better to say it and to be corrected than to keep it to yourself. You know, like most people do in meetings in Ghana, they go to the meeting, they go and meet the boss, they go and meet the MD. Before they go, everybody, hey, we'll speak our mind. Hey, we'll speak. Then they go and sit in front of the person. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've heard, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, I've heard, sir. I will do it, sir. Then when they leave, they say, this man, who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? What kind of human being are you? What kind of human being are you? At least I can say, even in my quietest moment, I've never shied away from speaking my mind. I'll say it nicely, respectfully. This is what I think. Yes, sir. But I don't think, sir. Yes, sir. But I don't think so, sir. You don't have to be rough about that. Just say, this is what I think. And maybe you are wrong by what you think, but say it. Don't be afraid to speak your mind. And don't be bold only when you are with your friends. Be bold. Speak your mind. Don't be afraid of their faces.